a star appeared in the sky, a star unlike any other star, a star that penetrated the darkness. This was an epiphany, an awakening to the world of the presence of the newborn Savior. Scientists try to figure out what this star actually was, and most would say today that it was really an alignment of Jupiter, Venus, and a little star called Regulus. But consider that. Jupiter was the king of all the Roman gods. Venus was the goddess of beauty, of love, and motherhood. And Regulus is just a term that means little king. So it sort of fits. This happened in the constellation of Leo, the lion, and then flowed over to the constellation of Virgo, the virgin. We could look at it as sort of like a natural theology, a revelation in a natural sense. For instance, the Heavenly Father, the king, sent his son Jesus, the little king, into this world, born of that very special mother of love. This was first given to the house of Judah, called by the prophets the Lion of Judah, and represented all the tribes of Israel, but overflowed then to the rest of the world, who had never been part of that original covenant. Be that as it may, it was a star unlike any other. So they came searching. These we call the Magi, meaning the wise ones, or we call them sometimes the three kings because of the three precious gifts that they brought to little Jesus. Some translations even call them the astronomers because they were looking up in the sky. They probably came from Iraq today, which was ancient Babylon. There in near Baghdad was the great observatory of Sippar. So it's possible that these magi came from ancient Babylon. Also, Prophet Daniel, 600 years before the birth of our Lord, was an exiled Jew living there in Babylon. He was King Nebuchadnezzar's chief magoi. Daniel, in his book, prophesies about the Messiah. So these magi would have had that written record. So in a way, they were prepared. They were looking. Archaeological records from China, also Egypt, Greece, ancient Rome, all talk about the star that was a foretelling of this newborn king who had been born. So put it all together. They came searching. They find little Jesus in Bethlehem. They fall prostrate in adoration. They bear their gifts, gold for the king, frankincense for the priest, myrrh for one who would die, the sacrifice for our sins. Here, we can just picture the scene of them beholding the face of Jesus, the face of God. We can see this vision coming from our Lord penetrating the souls of these magi. We can see this light coming from Christ, who is true God, became true man, light from light, God from God, consubstantial with the Father, as we say in the Creed, just overflowing into their souls and setting their souls ablaze with this new light. Imagine this. My brothers and sisters, we could pause here and say that we need to gaze upon the face of Christ, light from light, the true light, because when we look upon Christ, we can see ourselves, that image that we're called to live. Awakened to Jesus in our life, we see us. When we reflect Jesus in our thoughts, words, and deeds, we become that best person, that best version of ourselves that God wants us to be. When we're awake to Christ, then we find purpose and meaning in our life, no matter how dark the circumstances may seem. We'll always have hope if we're awake to Christ. When we're awake to Christ, we also find a peace in our heart. No matter what's going on the outside, we find a peace of heart. And therefore, awake to Christ, we'll never be a slave. We'll never be under someone else's control or in turmoil. We will have that freedom and peace that he wants us to have. Well, the Magi then left. They didn't say a word that's recorded in the gospel. But the gospel does say they left by a different route, which means not just a different physical route, a different spiritual route. They followed that light for the rest of their lives. In our Catholic tradition, we know these Magi as Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. They are recognized as saints. Their relics are preserved at the cathedral in Cologne since the time of the Middle Ages. But here we have to think how they became a light for others. So wherever they went, back to ancient Babylon, wherever, they became that light, like a star guiding others to Christ. So with that in mind, on this Feast of the Epiphany, we're called to stay awake to Christ, to gaze upon his face, to let his light flow into our hearts. To do this, each day we should give that precious gift of gold, meaning ourselves, meaning our time. That's what's most precious in the eyes of God. With that, give our gift of frankincense, meaning that looking to Christ as priest, we offer our prayers each day, taking that time to be with our Lord, to share our life with him. On New Year's Day, I recommended that a good resolution would be to say the rosary each day, to focus on the different sets of mysteries that keeps us gazing on Christ. We also can read sacred scripture to let that word of God guide us in our lives. We can look at the lives of the saints. Every day usually has a special feast day. Look at that saint. All the saints are like stars around us in the heavens, leading us to Christ. So we always have to take that time to give ourselves to Christ. Of course, then, we come here for Mass, to offer our worship, we go to confession, but in all, we come offering that gift of frankincense. Also, there's the gift of myrrh, meaning that just as Jesus gave of himself for our salvation, we need to give of ourselves to do those good spiritual, corporal works of mercy. By doing so, when we help those in need, we find Christ. When people see us helping, they see Christ. And so we stay awake in these ways. In all, though, this is a journey of our life. We should never stop searching, never stop striving to be better awake to Christ. If we do, then one day the journey will end in the kingdom of heaven. And that's when we will behold the face of God. My brothers and sisters, what a beautiful message. But there is a warning. Be on guard against what we could call the Death Star, to use a little Star Wars terminology. It's in the gospel. King Herod is a Death Star. King Herod was appointed by Caesar Augustus to be king of Israel. He did everything to gain that position, literally selling body and soul. He worshipped even the Roman gods. King Herod was a ruthless king. He killed his wife, his mother-in-law, three of his sons, because he thought they were plotting against him. And now we know in our gospel, if we went one verse further, when he discovers the Magi have gone back a different route, he orders the slaughter of the little innocents, 2 years old and younger. What a cruel man. Towards the end of his life, he retired to his palace outside of Jericho. And there, he was dying. He was dressed in fine linen, purple cloths, his gold crown, but underneath, inside, according to archaeologists, he was being eaten alive, inside out, by either cancer or gangrene, maybe both. And there were even maggots in his flesh. He had ordered 300 of the most prominent people arrested on false charges, and the order was that when he died, they'd be taken to the Hippodrome and slaughtered, so that tears would be shed when King Herod died. Fortunately, the order was never carried out. But we have to be on guard against the Death Stars, who seek to destroy Christ in us and thereby seek to destroy us and they're around. Don't believe the lie of Herod, the Death Star, the person who says, this is especially for young people. You can be cool, you can be popular, you can have all kinds of friends, all kinds of social status, if you drink the alcohol and do the drugs, like opioids, smoke the weed, have sex, post the lewd pictures. Oh yes, you can be so popular. Do they tell us that it all leads to destruction, to death of ourselves? Keep the eyes on Christ. Don't listen to the lie of Herod that says we no longer need God in our world. We no longer need religion. We no longer need church. Science and technology have all the answers. We need nothing of the supernatural. What a lie. Any good scientist, for one thing, would say, if we ponder science and we look at the design, the purpose, and the order of creation, it all points to an almighty supreme being who is true wisdom. But science, without God, would tell us we're just byproducts of some chaotic evolutionary process. Where, then, is the moral standard? Where, then, is the hope? For instance, a psychologist recently said that she has difficulty consoling atheists who are having problems explaining death to children. So this one situation was the atheist mother came to the psychologist and said, how can I tell my little daughter that her grandmother has died? I can't just say she's gone. And the psychologist said, well, that's what you believe. She's dead. You don't believe in heaven. You can't lie. Where's the hope without God beyond a grave? And take it a step further. Think of how we treat each other. A recent study showed that in America, last 20 years especially, there's been a real increase in hatred, in meanness, in violence. And yet at the same time, the sociologist said, there's a correlation with the decrease in practice of faith in religions. Interesting. But take that a step further. In November, a couple in Ohio was facing difficulty because they had a newborn who had two rare congenital disorders. They had to raise some money to help pay the co-pays of their medical insurance. They couldn't do it on their own, so they thought, well, we'll seek some donations at the shopping mall. It's Christmas time. People may be generous and so on. So they had a little sign saying, please help. Child has disorders, things like that. Someone wrote on all the signs, let the baby die. It's called Darwinism. God makes all the difference. So don't believe the lies. Because all they offer then is despair, doom, death. Christ offers light. He offers truth and love. Where else will we find the meaning of life? Where else will we find the standards by which we live? Where else will we find how we ought to treat each other if we don't have Jesus? So, my brothers and sisters, keep on searching. Stay awake. Follow the light of Christ and be that light to others. May God bless you.